So many facts and numbers and implications in our world right now during this coronavirus pandemic. It's not easy trying to keep up with it all. This is Lisa Berry, and a steady voice in all of this has been Dr. Sandro Sinti, infectious disease specialist at Michigan Medicine, who has agreed to check back in with us and update us on where we are now in all of this. How are you holding up, Dr. Sinti?
Oh, holding up okay. Thank you very much. The help of a lot of people.
Yeah, you've been on the front lines of this since the get-go.
Yeah, and not only me, a lot of people. I think the healthcare system in general is getting quite fatigued from all this.
Yeah.
But people are still working hard. And as you've probably seen and as people have noticed, the curve is starting to change, which is good news, that we're seeing fewer cases come in. We're starting to discharge patients. And all that is as a result of the stay-at-home order by Governor Whitmer. Thanks to her and her administration and public health, we're at the point where we are now. So that's the good news. The tougher news and the bad news is that patients are still quite sick in the hospital. The patients that we brought in early are now still in the hospital, many of those patients on ventilators. And we will be struggling with that. And the last thing we want is to have to go back to that situation where we were right on the brink of overstretching our resources within the hospitals. And that's why the next steps, which is trying to open up the economy, we have to do very carefully.
Can you say we have officially flattened the curve? Are we on the other side of this?
Well, those are two things.
Okay.
One is flattening the curve.
Okay.
And I would have to say undoubtedly we flattened the curve. And the fact that we're seeing fewer cases, the doubling times have decreased, and we're starting to discharge more patients than we're admitting is all proof of that. Now, are we coming to the end of this is another question. And we really need to be careful because we could peak right back up to where we were before if we're not careful in the way we reopen. Again, I'll stress that the shelter-in-place orders, the social distancing, all the social mitigation that has gone on in not only Michigan but all over the country and all over the world has helped to flatten the curve, undoubtedly. And it's helped us in the hospital to not be completely overwhelmed. We don't want to go back to that brink where we were, where we thought we might have to stretch outside our hospital limits.
We heard from the get-go about if you had a pre-existing condition or you were a certain age that you needed to be extra careful to avoid getting COVID-19. So if you're in that situation and you're listening right now, would you advise them to go out or go to a store? Or, I mean, obviously 6 feet away from anybody else, but is it safe to go out yet?
It's a tough question to answer. Now, I think people, the fact that everybody's wearing masks means that if we assume, and we have to because we don't have enough testing to test everybody, and there are some people who are asymptomatic and spreading this, I think it's wise to assume that everybody has this, although that's probably not the case. And if we go by that and wear masks and wash our hands and keep social distancing, I think we can protect ourselves, even those of us who are at risk. So can you go out to the store if you have risk factors? Probably try and avoid that, but to go out, if you do go out, wear a mask, make sure that you're watching what you touch and washing your hands and using those safety measures that have now been put into place. And again, if you look around, we are seeing fewer and fewer people infected. If we look at our healthcare workers in general, the percent of healthcare workers that are tested that are positive is going down. So as we are more careful and we do better and we're less likely to get infected. Yes, people who are at risk should be careful. It doesn't mean they absolutely can't leave their house.
We keep hearing more widespread and accurate testing is one solution as we wait for a vaccine to be developed. Are we making any progress on that you're aware of?
There are probably what we call phase one trials of vaccine going on. There are undoubtedly candidates for vaccines out there. There are no large studies that I've seen. I haven't seen any published articles on this yet, but I know that this is being worked on at the NIH, and that we should start seeing phase two trials coming out. But I don't think we should expect anything on the vaccine side that will come to our arms or our or wherever the shot is going to be given until probably a year to 18 months from now. It's really going to take a while. It's faster, that's great, but yeah. I think we have to expect it's going to be longer.
I know this is called a novel virus, and we're learning about it as we go. Have you learned anything that you want to pass along or anything that may have even surprised you about this virus?
Well, I think one of the things, it does act in many ways as we would expect a coronavirus to act. Other coronaviruses cause cold symptoms, and that's why we haven't seen coronaviruses in the news other than the first SARS, but that one was quite different. It didn't spread as efficiently as this one. I think what surprises me is how sick some of our patients can be from this, and it does make me pause when I think about opening the economy. I think we have to really communicate with the public that this is serious and that we're not closing, that the state isn't closed for no reason. It's really protecting lives. And we have to be careful as we come out of that we protect as many lives as we can. We have to strike a balance. We do have to work, and we have to strike a balance between people getting infected, even at-risk people, and getting back to work. So those things, I think one thing that surprised me a little, I think mask wearing is something I have come around to. I didn't think mask wearing in the public would be very helpful, but I do. I'm now a convert, I would say. And I think that wearing a mask in public will help. And the reason it will help is mostly because people who are transmitting will be wearing a mask and they won't transmit it as efficiently. I think it does help with people not touching their face when they touch surfaces that might be contaminated with COVID. It is a little surprising to see how long this can live on surfaces. And so to make sure that things are clean, surfaces are cleaned, is important.
Do you see us wearing masks in public for a long time now?
Well, they do it in many of the Asian countries. They're used to wearing masks. And when the flu season hits, you can see people wearing masks. I think we have to get away from a stigma of wearing masks, and we may need to do that for a while. And it may help in the future. Wearing masks in public during bad flu seasons might be one way to prevent really severe and large outbreaks. So I don't know. There's still a lot to be. I am a person of science, so I'm looking for these data. But what I've heard and what I've seen so far makes me think that this may be one area where we may be getting some help from wearing masks in public.
A lot of traditional summer events are being postponed or canceled now. Do you believe that is necessary and in everyone's best interest?
Yeah, I think anything where you have large crowds, transmission rates are extremely high in those situations. I do think in places where we can maintain distance, where we can wear masks, and where we can do hand hygiene, we can open back up. So, and the governor is, I think, thinking along those lines too, and public health would be supportive of that as long as small businesses and the workplace are, as long as there's some forethought and as long as people are careful, I think that we can start doing some of that. For instance, a store, the garden stores were opened up, and if you go to a garden store and you're wearing a mask and you're careful not to touch your face and you're careful to maintain your distance, there's no reason that there should be a lot of spread in people who go to garden stores. But I don't think we can. I think it's going to be a long time before crowded bars and restaurants are reopened, and where we have venues where we have large crowds of people, I think we have to do that more slowly.
Do you have a time frame for that?
Of course. No, I don't have a time frame. One way we can look at this, Lisa, is to say, okay, let's try something. But every time you try something, everybody should remember the incubation period for this virus is 2 weeks. So when we try something, we really have to observe and wait for 10 days to 2 weeks before we do the next thing. So those large venues that will eventually open up, you can imagine that those will be the last things to open up. So we'd have to, it's going to be months down the line, I think, before those things open up.
What about sunlight and warm weather? Have you heard or discovered any information that that would have an impact on killing the virus?
There is some information that coronaviruses don't do as well in warmer weather, that they don't spread as efficiently, and that's true for all viruses in general. So the hope is that spring and summer will bring less infections, yes, and we may be starting to see some of that now. But still, does that mean you can have a crowded concert venue and say that there's not going to be spread? I don't think you can say that. Mm-hmm. I still think there will be transmission in crowded places.
Dr. Sandro Sinti, infectious disease specialist at Michigan Medicine. Best of luck to you and everybody in your medical system over there. And thanks so much for talking to us here on WEMU.
Thank you very much, Lisa.